الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين
اللهم صل على
محمد. Monday the 16th of July 2001 سورة ياسين. We are approaching the fourth theme. If you remember, the first time we did Surah Yasin, we said this surah is divided into four themes. The first theme was to do with the messengership, the prophethood of the Holy Prophet. The second theme was Tawheed. Was it?
The way they treated the messenger.
Sorry, the past, yes. Incidents of the past people, how they treated the messages. The third was Tawheed. And the fourth is Mi'ad. That is the Day of Judgment. Now, today we are starting with verse number 48, where the context goes from Mi'ad, that is on the day, about the Day of Judgment. But before I do that, I want to talk about verse number 47. Verse number 47 says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Now this is a line of argument adopted by many people at that time and many people up today. And there is a very interesting concept behind how we respond to that kind of argument, that line of argument. The line of argument goes as follows. That if Allah wants all poor people to be rich, He can get that done. So the argument was, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. Should we feed those who, if Allah wishes, can feed them? This is the line of argument. And if you extend it to everything that is around us, should we convey the true message to those who, if Allah wishes, can guide them? If Allah wishes, He can do so many things. So why is it that He is not doing it? And that was the line of argument adopted by the kafirs at that time. And up to today, if you have this kind of doubt, it is important that today, understanding this verse, we remove that doubt altogether. And how can we explain this? That if Allah wants something, yet it is not happening. We know it is good, something good, where everybody is well-to-do, for example, or everybody has sufficient means to meet their ends, or everybody is guided on the right path, or everybody knows what is right and what is wrong. If Allah wants, He can do that. Now, why is Allah not doing it? And how do we explain that if Allah wants something, He can get it done? So does that mean Allah does not want it? This is the line of argument adopted by the kafirs at that time. And line of argument, you may come across many people discussing this, you know, when they come to discussing the powers of Allah. And this is where I must explain very clearly. There are two words that are important. One is irada, right? Irada is to want, and mashiyah is to wish. I mean, these are the similar words. The word used in this particular verse in Surah Yasin is أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ. يَشَاء is from the word مَشِيَة, right? إِرَادَ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْزَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ, right? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ, that means Allah has the irada, He wants, right? Now, the question here is that if Allah wants, the kafirs are arguing, if Allah wants, then He can feed them. Why is He asking us to feed them? Now, the want as in irada, irada or mashi'ah of Allah, when it comes to Allah, right? and these two, Irada and Mashi'a, are divided into two. One is, I'm writing Arabic terms, I'll explain this inshallah. One is takwiniya and one is tashri'iya. Right? These two terms are very important in understanding that when we talk of what Allah wants and what He wishes, His wishes are divided into two distinct categories. One is takwiniya and one is tashri'iya. Takwiniya is the one which is when Allah wants that objective is definitely accomplished. Right? The objective of what He wants, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When He wants something which is related to His irada of takwiniya, then that thing will take place, whether we oppose it, whether we like it or we don't. When Allah wants something, when it is to do with takwiniya, it will definitely happen. But then, there is tashri'iya, where He legislates. You know, tashri'iya is from the word sharia. Where He says, if you want my pleasure is in this distance. Right? Where He says that He sends the religion, He sends guidance up to a certain level, and then it is up to us to actually act on it and accomplish that objective which Allah wants from us. But where our intention, where our action is part and parcel of accomplishing the objective. That is where the imtihan comes. That is where the ibtila' comes. You know what I mean by imtihan and ibtila', I mean trials and tribulations. That is where the amal salih or jaza' comes. You know where reward, when you do a good deed, Allah wants you to do that good deed. That does not mean the good deed has been done. Allah wants you to do it, that means you have to physically take a step towards doing it. So in actual fact, the irada and mashia of Allah are divided into two things, takwiniya and tashri'iya. Takwiniya is the one where we say, إِذَا قَرَى رَبُّكَ شَيْءٍ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides something, then He wants it from His takwiniya. If that irada is takwiniya, then it is definitely going to take place. Nothing on this earth will ever stop him. He has the power. Whereas there are other things that are mashi'a fa shari'iyya, where He says, I want you to do this. He stops it. It is up to us, based on our faith, based on our love for Allah, that we actually take the physical step of doing those things and we do that. So, that is the misconception the kuffars had. They could not comprehend between the mashi'ah of Allah, the takwiniyah and the tashri'iyah. And they asked this question, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. If Allah wanted, there would have been nothing like what we see here. If Allah wanted in His mashi'ah takwiniyah, we would have had all Muslims and nothing, no arguments, no fights, no wars, no disease. But that is not the system He has created under. He has created us within a system that He wants us to do certain things. Any questions before I go on?
Mr. Muhammad.
Yes.
Abhinashkiya chai risk lakai jai chai kawar asun.
Haan.
So lakai jai chai to what?
Lakai jai chai malish. Malish. Haan. Right. The question is, okay, we say risk or sustenance is predestined. We are slightly on a different issue here. You got to understand. We are talking of destiny and fate. That is it predestined how much we are going to get in terms of sustenance. Yes, according to some narrations, risk is predestined, right? But it is nothing to do with Mashiach. You got to understand. Plus, predestined does not mean that you have got it. Allah has written so much for you, but at the same time you have to try. And that is altogether a different discussion that we can discuss some other time. But this one, Mashi'ah, Mashi'ah Tashri'iyah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even in Salatul Jumu'ah, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. That means, when the prayers are over, go spread out on the earth and seek from the mercy of Allah, from the bounties of Allah. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. So there is no limits attached to it, right? But we have to make attempts towards that Tashri'iyah. Any other questions? Right, let's go on now. Verse number 48. And this is where we begin again with the Day of Judgment. وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعَدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And they are asking, they are saying, when is this promise going to take place? Time is the biggest element that goes against a human being who has been created as a hasty person. A hasty being. A human being wants everything very fast and very quick. And the kinds of questions that we ask is, when is this going to take place? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this particular aspect. First of all, He says in the Holy Quran, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُلًا. That means man has been created a hasty being. Then He says that إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. That means they see it something very far, but we see it something very close. So time is relative. To us, something that is so far away, to Him it is something very close. Similarly here, يَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you were true, remember, the main underlying theme are addressing to people who do not believe in the resurrection. People who do not believe that we will be given life again after death. And therefore, they keep on arguing in this manner, that when is this going to take place? We have had our forefathers who died and nothing, we have seen no trace of them coming back. So, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Just before I go on, this Fatiha has been wrote for the marhum, for the tawab of marhum Fatma by Peer Bhai. Can I all request you to recite a surah of Fatiha, please? Right. So now the kafirs are asking, when is this going to take place? If you were truthful in what you're saying is going to happen, when is it going to take place? مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُضُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجَعُونَ. This is describing the scenario on that day. مَا يَنْظُرُونَ. Nobody is going to wait for them. مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً. It will take only one. We did sayha last time, remember? One loud noise. تَأْخُرُهُمْ. That will take them. وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ. يَخِصِّمُونَ means they are squabbling. Crawling, you know, fighting between themselves. Right? وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. They will not have even the time. تَوْصِيَةً is from the word wasiya. Even the time to tell somebody, do this for me, or this one, this message I want to convey. They will not even have the time. Nor will they be going back to their families. They will not return. Wherever they will be, hadith mache in a hadith that people will be in a market selling and buying. And the buyer showing his product to the seller, and when this thing will come, they will not even conclude that deal. That time will not be given for them, because when this noise that comes, everybody will fall dead immediately, right? Now, this is that first noise. According to some narrations, that is the first blow of the trumpet where everybody will die. And then, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. Now, then the second trumpet that will be blown is when everybody will wake up min al ajdafi ila rabbihim yansilun. In a line, nasal is from the line, right? Ila rabbihim yansilun, towards their Lord. In a line, towards their Lord. These three verses, starting from ma yanzuruna illa sayhatan wahidatan ta'khudhuhum wa hum yakhsimun فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. These three verses give a true picture of what is going to take place, of how it is going to be on the Day of Judgment, right? Then, when these people will be brought back to life on that day, قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. That is when they will say, woe be unto us, يَا وَيْلَنَا. Right? Wail is woe. It is like a self-curse. Yeah? يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. Who is this one who has given us life back from where we were asleep? Marqad is a place where you sleep, right? And Marqad is also referred to the lahad that we have, the grave, right? يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. That is when they will be admitting that this is what Allah had promised, and those messengers who had come to us, this is the true message that they had given us.
Why are they in a place of sleep? I thought they'll be berserk and all this fire and stuff. They won't be resting.
يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. If you remember, we had three categories, right? The first category was those who go straight to heaven. That is, the heaven starts from Barzakh. The second category was those who go straight to hell. That is, the hell starts from Barzakh. And the third category are those who are going to sleep. Right, going to sleep for a long time, because all that will come on that day. That is number one. That is one explanation, possible explanation. The second explanation is that when they are put into grave, even if there is any kind of punishment, right, that will be inside the grave. The scenery of the Day of Judgment will be totally something they had never thought will happen. Right? It is like you are being a roll call taking place. Everybody is summoned to a very high court judge, you know, sitting there and saying, come. So, that switch from the grave to the Day of Judgment will also be something so large, shift from you know, being in the grave up to the Day of Judgment, or up to the Qiyamah Day, that they will exclaim this.
The other thing also, sorry, ayats 49, 50 and 51 are all about the trumpet. They're all related. Why are they separated by a section?
Which section?
Well, section 4. You know, there's a new section. Because they should be together, shouldn't they?
I think the divider is, if you read up to that day, the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment, death takes place before that, yeah? One of you have his story, comes after that, yeah? The divider is, up to the time they all die, everybody dies. Then the trumpet is blown, giving them life again, so the Day of Judgment has come.
These divisions, when were they actually placed? In the time of Rasulullah?
No.
Afterwards. So it could be arbitrary.
Well, I think it was done under the supervision of Imams as well. And if you go through the whole division, you will find there is a unique kind of division. But interestingly, Tafsir Mizanma, there is a hadith that says, that gives a time scale between the time everything will die and between that the time that life will be given again. You remember when we were doing this, we said nobody knows the time. But once everything is dead, لا يبقى إلا وجهي ذو الجلال والإكرام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Hadith al-Qudsi that when everything will die, nothing will remain except Him. Then life will be given again to resurrect all those who have died. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. The time scale between that, according to one hadith that I found in Tafsir al-Mizan, is 400 years. 400 years. Now, even Sahib al-Mizan is not very happy with the hadith, but he says this hadith is warid. So that is the gap, that the break that you see, that once they die, before they are resurrected again, there is a time gap.
Does this include also the angels also die?
Yeah. But when we were doing that, we talked of even Jibreel die. Everybody will die. In fact, in the hadith that says even death will die. Thank you. Yeah. Repeat you,
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
It wasn't
everything
that died. Who is going to blow the trumpet? The angel who is going to blow the trumpet will be given life again by Allah first. Mikael.
Kun
fayakun. Kun fayakun. Ahsan. Right. إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم جميع لدينا محضرون.
So we're coming back to this. It wasn't كل شيء, it was كل من عليها فان. So everyone on it, everyone on it. And doesn't necessarily mean everywhere.
كل من عليها فان. You're referring to Surah Rahman, yeah?
Yeah, so that means you've got to ask what is عليها.
No, well, what is عليها mean?
Well, it could be on the earth, for example. Or on the samawat.
No, there must be a reference before that. Surah Rahman, okay, Surah 57.
55, 26.
رب المشرقين ورب المغربين. Verse number 17. كل من عليها فان. Well, this is one thing. The other verse is كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every being, right? Nafs as in hayat, every life livingly.
So I mean, what I'm saying is, it could be that the malaika or some of them may not be.
No, we did this in that, if you remember, where there is a hadith that says that every angel will die. Right?
What's the next ayat after that?
فَبِأَيْ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمْ
وَيَقْفَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ.
So Allah says that
that means everything, in negative, it means everything else is gone. Right, let's go to verse number 53. إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ جَمِيعٌ لَدَيْنَا مُحْضَرُونَ. So Allah is referring to that نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. It takes only one noise to bring them back to life. The way it took only one noise to kill them all. To give that to all of them, it takes only one blow of trumpet. Similarly, one blow of trumpet and they will all be back. Everybody. Right? فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Today, there is no injustice. Dhulm here, you know the meaning of dhulm. Dhulm means injustice. Dhulm is opposing adalat, adl. Adl means justice. And justice here means وَضْعُ الشَّيْءٍ فِي مَحَلِّهِ. That means you treat it the way it is supposed to be treated. Dhulm means that there will be no injustice carried out on that day, right? And this is the verse that Ayatullah Tabatabai, Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shirazi, and many of the contemporary Mufassireen come to the conclusion that it has to be such a perfect system where not an ounce or an iota of injustice will take place. Nobody will be able to even raise a claim, this is not something I have done, or why haven't I received a reward for what I have done. Not a single person out of the billions who will be brought back to life. And the only logical explanation based on hadith as well as logic is that on that day we will see our own deeds appear in front of us. Now this is yours. You remember we have done this. We have done the embodiment of our deeds. That on that day, we will see our deeds. We will recognize our deeds. And that is why categorical statement that there will be no injustice because only what you have done will come to you. وَمَا تُجْزَوْنَ وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Today here your reward is only what you have done, because it is only that will appear in front of you. No addition from anywhere else. Nobody will claim that why is this not there, I had done this, or why is this here, I had not done this. On that particular day, it is these deeds that will accompany us. And look at the positioning, that it is that day Allah says that now there is no injustice. Everybody will be rewarded with what they have done, only with what they have done. And it is that particular what they have done, those deeds that will accompany us as we go from the resurrection stage, go to Hisab and then go to Mizan and then go to Pool-e-Sirat and go to Jannah or Jahannam. As we progress along that day on the Day of Judgment, it is these deeds of ours that will be accompanying us. Right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people of Jannah. Inna ashab al jannati al yawma fi shughulin faakihun. هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك متكئون لهم فيها فاكهة ولهم ما يدعون سلام قولا من رب رحيم. These four verses are talking about the people in Jannah, أصحاب الجنة. أصحاب الجنة means people in Jannah, people of Jannah. في شغل فاكهون. هم وأزواجهم في ظلال على الأرائك. أرائك means any kind of sitting place where you can lean back. Muttaki'un is that ittika'a means to lean on. Take in Arabic. Lahum fiha faakihatun wa lahum ma yadda'un. Whatever they want. Salamun qawlam rabbir rahim. Peace. This is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Why? Can you significance of the word shubul? Because that's
why the word shughul? You know, you are trying to apply shughul as in its most common sense. Okay, shughul is why the makan shughul kam work, right? Whereas shughul means not necessarily work. It means
occupied.
It doesn't occupied. Yes, they are occupied. That's more. It makes more sense. The word used shughul, that means probably there is an irony to it. You have been working hard all your life. Now here, so this is your work. Enjoy the food.
It does.
Shughul in faakihun. Faakihun, by the way, is not from the word fakaha. It's not from the fruit word. Faakiha is fruit. Faakihun does not mean enjoying fruits. Faakihun itself means enjoying. In general terms, right? And the dalil, although some mufassirin have said that faakihun means enjoying fruits of Jannah, right? But the dalil is that immediately thereafter, lahum fiha faakihatun wa lahum ma yadda'un, Allah would not repeat a word because it would make it redundant. Salamun qawlam rabbir rahim. Salam is the language in which people of Jannah will be talking. And you have you have come across this word so many times in different parts in the Holy Quran. La yasma'una fiha laghwan wala ta'thima illa qilan salaman salama. Right? That means salam is the conversation that will take place. They will not be listening to any kind of gossip or talking about people. That is Ashabul Jannah. Aapne emne stocks ne shares na so pouch ne aaj score so chhe ne kai. Right. It is just peace. Now, the next sentence, the next verse is interesting. Wamtazu al-yawma ayyuha al-mujrimun. Wamtazu al-yawma ayyuha al-mujrimun. This is an address to Al-Mujrimun. Al-Mujrimun is somebody who has done a jarima. A jarima is an offense in Arabic. Mujrimun means those who have done or those who are offenders. Wamtazu means separate. You know, filter out. Chuta liya. Wamtazu al-yawma ayyuhal mujrimun. Once they are separated, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. تَعْبُدُ, the meaning of the word abada here is not as in worship where you pray, because you see the verse that follows says فَعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صَرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ, right? وَعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صَرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Now the ibadat itself has got a meaning of obedience, ita'at. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ, did I not take an oath from you? That means that did He not send messengers to show you the true path? Did He not warn you not to follow Shaitan, not to obey Shaitan? Because he is an enemy for you. That is the message that we get from all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That don't follow Shaitan, he is your enemy. A clear enemy, aduwwun mubeen. وَأَنِ عَبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Now, mufassirin, when using the language ibadah, first word, تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ, does not mean that you don't do sajda to Shaitan. No, it simply means do not follow and obey Shaitan. The next word, وَأَنِ عَبُدُونِي, also primarily means obey me. For in the obedience of Allah lies salvation to the straight path. It goes on more, because ibadat has that, you know, that level of semantics that you go from basic obedience up to total worship. So when it comes to Allah wa ani abuduni, you start with primary function of the word ibadah, which is just obeying. That will take you hada siratul mustaqim, that you obey Allah at all times, and then you slowly climb that, even in that semantic level of the meaning of ibadah, you slowly climb getting up to the level of total submission and worshipping Allah and none other than Allah. How did you communicate? No. This is what is going to happen on the day of judgment. How will Allah be communicating? Allah will be communicating with us through messengers. Especially the there are hadiths. If you remember when we were talking about Jannah, there is a certain level of people who will get the bounty of listening to Allah's words directly. Right. So that is reserved exclusively for some people who have arrived at that level of piety. As a reward to them, the hadith says, يَتَمَتَّعُونَ بِسَمْعِ صَوْتِ اللَّهِ Layla wa nahar, right? That means they will be enjoying that pleasure of listening to Allah directly day and night. And that will be a certain level. So listening to Allah directly is not something everybody will be given, no. So these conversations that take place will be through messengers, as in angels. Sorry? Angels. Angels, messengers are not in Rusul and Anbiya. We're talking of angels. Now on that day it will be the angels. Ulaika al-muqarrabun. Well, yes, possibly. એક માણસ કે આ દુનિયામાં બૈરાગી થાકી ગયા છે, આખરત માં ક્યાં હોય બહેનો બોલા છે. Interestingly, Ayatollah Tabatabai does address this question. Huh? He says it could be referring to both kinds. Both their spouses on this earth, if they are in Jannah, inshallah, or the spouses given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember,
Azwaj is generic, is it?
Spouse.
They can be both male and female, right? It doesn't mean wife here.
No. I'm a wife.
No. Companion.
Spouse.
No, but Azwaj does not indicate any
masculine or
gender.
No. Although you will see hum wa azwajhum, it's masculine. But again, you see, Arabic ma, if you have, 10 women and one man, right, the address will be masculine. This is Arabic language, a very chauvinistic language. So, hum does not necessarily negate or exclude women, right? So, hum wa azwajhum, their spouses, and their spouses, Ayatollah Tabatabai says, this could be referring to either or both. Meaning that the spouses, we are entitled to being in Jannah. That if we want, we can have our own spouses in Jannah, if they are in Jannah. Or spouses gifted to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
According to
the
hadith, all
relations will be severe. Kya hadith ma suche all relations will not matter. A father will not look after the son, or the husband will not look after the wife, or the son, daughter will not look after her brother. That is what is there, Quran much. Right? Because everybody is engrossed with himself or herself. It does not mean that a father and a son, after the end, when they get into Jannah or Jahannam, will not be on talking terms or will have no relations. No, that relationship is permanent. There will always be a father and son. Right? What is going to happen is that influence and that concern and care that you see in this world, and duties and obligations, will no longer be there. Right? But that relationship will exist, it's just carried on. There are no duties and obligations, remember that. So it's not that spouse is here, so now I have to look after that spouse there as well. It doesn't work that way.
For them, there shall be food, for them shall be whatever they call for. If they call for the spouse, it will be another time.
I tell you, people are getting morbid now.
I'm not scared.
Does it indicate more than one wife or more than one spouse? From this, it doesn't show that.
Right? No, this is a very general sentence.
Because
they and their spouses.
But doesn't mean they and then one more than one. So the one woman and multiple spouses is something that would not.
No. It's a very general statement.
Okay, I'm just trying to work out. I think I read somewhere it indicates that this is for men. But I'm trying to work out how it would be from
is
this.
Is this translation? It says they and their wives.
I can't remember the reasoning given as to why this.
It doesn't make sense. Hum wa azwajuhum. You see, if it was there and their wives, zawjatun, right? Zawja is a wife. Zawj is a husband. You see the same use of the word zawj, right? But in any case, the general reference here is to the spouse. And whenever anybody in Arabic talks of azwaj, right, it's talking of spouse, not necessarily man or woman. Coming back to your question, just interestingly, he says, وَلَهُمَّا يَدَّعُونَ, you can ask for anything and you can ask for your spouse if you want. Interestingly, when it comes to Shafa'ah is a concept that we have to understand. We shall deal that, inshallah, when time comes. But Shafa'ah is something where everybody entering Jannah, right, can be a Shafi'ah. According to some hadith, that many people who will be told to enter Jannah will stop and look back and say, Allah, I want to go to Jannah, fair enough, but my family, my friends, my so-and-so, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His infinite mercy intercede and give shafa'at to whosoever. So, please, don't worry, you spouse is very good. Shafa'ah, how does adalat come into shafa'ah? That is the question. Adala is justice. And if we were to be judged by Allah's justice, right, none of us would ever make it anywhere near Jannah. Check it out. Shafa'ah, fadl, rahmah is what we are banking on. That will save us. Otherwise, if it is a question of adalat, we don't think we will get anywhere. Maybe she says, I don't think I will get anywhere. The justice is that nobody will be blamed for something he has not done, or favored, rewarded for something he has done. Except, Pachi, one of these is his discretion. Effect, for example, so much so you deserve this bonus. Ayya Muhibb Ahl al Bayt, you have two people who have done the same thing. The difference is one is Muhibb Ahl al Bayt, the other is not. Right? There is some bonuses attached. You know, so there are bonuses that will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is part. Shafa'at is part of the bonus that He has reserved for believers. Right, let's go on to Jahannam. You're looking at verse number 63. No. Yeah, 63. هذه جهنم التي كنتم توعدون اصلوها اليوم بما كنتم تكفرون. Now, starting from وامتاز اليوم أيها المجرمون ألم أحد إليكم يا بني آدم لا تعلم. Up to this level. بما كنتم تكفرون. Who is Allah addressing? Who are the Muslims? The kuffar, the mushrikeen, the mu'mineen.
All those who have guidance? All those who have guidance?
All those who have?
Had guidance. Had the hadi.
And the zali.
This is a very thin line. Is he referring to those who are mujrimun min al muslimin, or is he referring to those who are totally, you know, kuffar?
Totally kuffar.
What makes you say that?
You said this is the hell which you were promised. Is it referring to that?
You haven't been promised hell for bad things?
Well,
as a Muslim. No, it's just a simple question.
You have, but not in that sense that disbelievers have been openly told that if you don't believe, you will be sent to hell.
That's his viewpoint. Anybody else?
Number 64, enter me into it, for you are disbelieving.
Islam has yawma bima kuntum?
It means you are not a believer. It means you are not a Muslim.
Exactly. There is a difference. Bima kuntum takfurun, bima kuntum kafirun. There is a distinct difference.
And what about in 61 when he says you should only worship me?
هذا صراط المستقيم. Fine.
A Muslim will only worship Allah.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Say la ilaha illallah.
قبول کرو شو.
Okay.
You see, this is the beauty of these verses. So many people recite these verses and think, "Ya kafir ostesh." The very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, right? Means that you filter out those of you who are offenders. Mujrim konji? Somebody who is under the law and has broken the law. Criminal, crime. Right? Somebody who has to be under the law has broken the law. Now, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرُونَ, that means those mujrimeen are not from amongst those who will go directly to Jannah. There are people who have been given their books on their right hands who will go straight to Jannah because of their good deeds. But these people have something to answer for first. This is the Jahannam bima kuntum takfurun, that you belied these Jahannam, this Jahannam. right, does not mean that we did not believe in Jahannam. No, we believe in Jahannam. Despite having that faith in Jahannam, it is not strong enough to stop us from doing bad deeds. That means that in our actions we are actually belying our belief. Bima kuntum takfurun, we are not denying the existence. Bima, it's not something that you rejected. Something you refuse to believe. This is what
this is asking. What are your thoughts on the fact that we should theoretically know the right path, right? As here. If we didn't follow it despite knowing it, are we in a worse position than those people who didn't know it?
How can you say that? How can you say that? Okay, are we in a worse position than people who don't know about it?
Because knowing something and still breaking the law is worse than not knowing and breaking the law.
They all know.
Wow.
Ignorance is bliss, huh?
I mean, sort of...
Ignorance is no excuse, huh?
I appreciate that, but should we be... What if we are not excelling as well as we could with the opportunities and knowledge that we have, rather than... I'm just wondering.
Let's get this right, huh? Before you harbor any more deeper doubts. First of all, there are levels, right? There is that basic level of where the hadith says, La ilaha illallah wa hisni wa man dakhla hisni amina min adhan, right? Going from that level up to the highest level of piety you can achieve. Where you can, you know, accomplish that possible feat of going into Jannah directly, for example. Between that is a long, I mean, this range is very wide, right? Here, we're talking of people who have committed those sins that are punishable by burning in the fire of hell. Many of the sins that I and you commit may not be punishable by burning in the fire of hell. Don't get that wrong. Not all sins are punishable by fire of hell. There are different kinds of punishments. Some of them are on this earth, some of them are in the grave, some of them are when you're dying. Right? Each time, every kind of punishment that comes will be punishment for your particular kind of sin. But there are certain sins which will only be punishable by burning in the fire of hell, whether for some time or permanently. We've seen that, we've done that verse which says, you know, you spend some time and then go and all that, yeah. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابَ and so on. So, no, I don't agree with you, Karan here. At the same time, on the same token, whilst ignorance is not an excuse, notwithstanding that, what we do good, we will get more reward than those who don't know. Right? It's interesting, I mean, discussion is shaken up. Yeah? And you? You want a list?
Is the ones you think that are small?
the Ayatollah Shahid Dastaghib in his book Zulub al Kabira says, he says the Zulub al Kabira are those that are punishable on the day of judgment by the fire of hell until Allah decides to forgive or something happens which invokes forgiveness from Allah. For otherwise, you're on a straight course to the punishment of fire of hell for those sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from the fire of hell, inshaAllah. Let's go on. I think this is my last lesson. Next week, I won't be in town. And we are running short of time. On that day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after talking about Jahannam, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. On that day, we will not be giving testimony to what we have done or we have not done. Testimony will be given by the very organs of our body that have done it. Hadith mache ke we will be hitting ourselves. You know, you are betraying me. I am your master. You know, that kind of reaction will be taking place on that day. But we will not be in control at all. It is our hands, it is our legs, it is our eyes, it is our ears, it is our skins, according to one other verse, right? That will be giving testimony and standing against us. Yes, we have done this. We bear testimony. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ عَيْنِهِمْ فَاسْتَبَقُوا الصِّرَاطَ فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ. That if we wanted, we would have removed these eyes. طَمَسَ means to remove, to erase the very existence of eyes. لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ عَيْنِهِمْ فَاسْتَبَقُوا الصِّرَاطَ فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ. And then they would have seeked, you know, they would have wanted the right path. But how could they see? This is what Allah could have done. He is now going hypothetically here. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَيُنِهِمْ فَاسْتَبَقُوا الصِّرَاطَ فَأَنَّا يُبْصِرُونَ. Meaning that whatever we have given is from us. Not only have we shown him what is the true path, but even the tools with which he goes on to the true path is from us. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَكَانَتِهِمْ فَمَا اسْتَطَاعُوا مُضِيًّا وَلَا يَرْجِعُونَ. لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ means we would have changed them. مَسَخْ is from, you know, مَمْسُخْ is to convert them, transform them into other beings. We would have converted them into such beings that they would not have been able to progress a step further nor go back. They would have been exactly what they are, like machines. Right? وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. There is so much to learn from this verse only. وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. We think that by gaining life, by gaining the number of years in age, we are becoming stronger. Because that is the circle of our life. When we start from young, we are dependent, totally dependent. We cannot do anything ourselves. As we grow up, our strength increases. But remember, as we grow older, our strength diminishes again. And we go back to the status of being weak, dependent. We lose the power of sight, we lose the power of hearing, we lose the power of talking, we lose the power of walking, we lose the power of running, we lose sometimes the power of thinking. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ. لَمْبِي زِنْدَكِي كَبِنَنَبِي. We pray for a long life. وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. As far as his physique is concerned, he becomes weaker. We are at the up of the youth. You know, we are at the up of the parabola that is going up. So we are very happy. Okay, we are all young. Not realizing that as we grow older, we are going to go back down. We are going to get to a stage where we were when we were born, when we were created and brought into this world. وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we have not taught him poetry, that is the Holy Prophet. Now it's coming back to the original message of prophethood now. We have not taught him poetry. This is interesting because the Holy Prophet was living at a time when everybody were poets. And people wanted to claim potane poems. Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi has explained this in the best possible manner. I have never read anything like that. But when it came to shu'ara, when it came to ash'ar, why was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making such an important statement here, saying that the Holy Prophet cannot be. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. He cannot be. He is a prophet. He cannot be a poet. What is there in a poet that cannot conform with the status of a messenger? Right? This is very important, because a poet, maybe a literary figure, maybe, you know, very expert in literature and so on, and language, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a very clear distinction here, that this does not befit the status of a prophet. Not only because we may think, not only because that this Quran is from him, and as a proof, he's not a poet, we have not taught him poetry, so this is not poetry, right? Not only because of that, but then it goes deeper, it cannot even befit his status. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. He cannot be a poet. He is a prophet. Right? Now why? Ayatullah Nasir Makarim Shirazi lists down, you know, two or three different points and says, imagine. He says, very important first, that poetry revolves around hypotheses and flowery language and hopes and dreams. Whereas Quran message is absolute truth. Every single word is a message. The poetry is revolving around dreams and possibilities and so on. Poetry, he says, Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi says that one mufassir, one of the classic mufassirin, has explained it beautifully. He says, in poetry a man explains, or rather manifests his hopes, and these words rise to the sky with the poet thinking, someday this will be answered. These are my dreams, for example, right? Whereas Allah's message is the opposite direction, coming from the sky down to earth, saying this is what is true, right? So basically, a poet will also, the third point he says, a poet will also lie. That means that whatever he mentions in his poem is not the entire truth. Right? It could be something that is far-fetched, it could be something that he thinks of, something that he dreams of, something he wants to happen, right? And so there is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing a very distinct line, not only between Quran and poetry, but between the office of the messenger and a poet. The Holy Prophet cannot be a poet. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشَّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. This is a Quran, is a reminder and a clear guide. This Quran, لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا, to warn that person who was alive. And life, remember last time we've done this before, that life is more than just the vegetable kind of life, or the animal kind of life, and the human beings kind of life. The only kind of life that differentiates human beings from vegetables or vegetation and animals, right? Plants and vegetation and animals. The only kind of life is the life of the intellect. And this Quran is a guide for intellect. It is the intellect that separates us from animals and vegetation. And it is life of this intellect that Allah is referring to here when he says the Quran is a book to warn those who are alive. Alive not as in physically alive. Alive not as in breathing and kicking and living. No. Alive as in understanding, using the power of intellect. That power that separates them from other living things. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Again, يَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. If you remember, this قول on the kafir is the قول of عذاب. We've done this initially when we started Surah Yasin, right?
Sorry, is there a significance that when the Quran was first revealed, it came in the form of poetry? It was pinned on the walls of Kaaba as poetry.
Sorry?
The first revelation that came to man
It was not the first revelation, so go ahead, yeah.
So the first that came from the people of Makkah, who came on Kaaba as poetry.
Yeah.
That's what we've heard anyway. Is there a significance there?
The reason of revelation of this verse is when one or two companions as in companions, yeah, witnesses to the Prophet, and it doesn't mean Ashab as such, but the Jews at that time, they came to the Holy Prophet and said that you are a poet, and this is poetry, because it matches poetry. So this is the beauty of Allah's message. The miracle is that at that time, living in the world of poetry, Allah is saying he is not a poet. The Holy Prophet, and to this, the Mufassirin ulama have gone at length to prove. I tell you, when they've gone at length, at a very long length, to prove that the Prophet has not left behind a single poem from himself. All the Imams have left behind poetry. Imam Ali al-Islam has poetry. Right? Imam Zain al-Abidin al-Islam left behind poetry. The Prophet did not leave behind any poem that can be attributed that these words were uttered by the Holy Prophet. Never. And then when I say the historians go at length, it means that they've picked up one or two quotes according to some narrations here, the Prophet has said this, and then they answer back, and no, the Prophet has not said this. This is at length. But the Holy Prophet did not utter any poem from himself. Now, when it comes, this was the reason of revelation. When it comes to showing that, I think that there was a different objective there. I mean, this is my understanding. The objective was to hit the hearts of those poets there. That even with all your ability of poetry, you can't match the words of the Holy Quran in impact. Right? It's not just words that are flowing out, it has an impact in its meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after talking about Jannah and Jahannam and what is going to happen, goes back to Tawheed. He goes back to what He has given us. He goes back to showing you signs of what He has created. You see, that is why the theme is, you know, up and down, right? It goes from Mi'ad to Tawheed, Tawheed to Risala, but it is revolving around these three main themes. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامًا فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ That did they not see that we have created for them, for مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا, meaning that it is only we who have done it. They have not shared anything. We have created for them an'am. An'am is cattle, right? Meaning goat, sheep, and all these animals, domestic animals. فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ And they then are masters of it. We have created it. They are masters. وَذَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ That means we have subdued them. Okay, they then are obedient and loyal to their masters, that is us. You know, وَذَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ is a very important connotation, especially during that time, they used to use camels. When we were doing the tafsir of this verse, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ When we were in Iran, we were doing the tafsir of this verse, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ Do they not see the camel? How was it created? And the Mufassir, the teacher, was going through the different aspects of how a camel was useful to the society at that time. Right? That the camel was a desert animal because it can go without water for 9 days. Right? That the camel's milk is so useful, the camel's meat is useful, and so on. One of the things I very clearly remember, he said that the camel is a huge animal. You've seen the camel, right? Yet it is afraid of a human being. You know why it is afraid of a human being? It is afraid of a human being because the eyes that the camel has is a magnifying glass. It sees the human being as a huge person in front of it, and therefore it subdues itself to the human being. It cannot see the human being in its right size. If a camel could see the human being in its right size, the camel would not be afraid. This is وَذَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these animals. Right? and created in them that subjugation. Your masters are human beings. وَذَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ فَمِنْهَا رَكُوبُهُمْ وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ. They used to ride on it, رَكُوبُهُمْ وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ, and they eat from it. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعَ, and they get all kinds of benefits from it, from the skin, from the hair, from the teeth and tusks, from the bones and meat. وَمَشَارِبْ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, and drinks as in milk. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. I must tell you here, because this is the second time this verse has come, أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. The first time, last time also, when we were talking about the three signs, right? This word comes, أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. That whenever we are reciting Surah Yasin and we come across this verse, أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ, then we, people who interact with the words of the Holy Quran, who are supposed to interact with the words of the Holy Quran, are supposed to stop and say, Ashukr Allah. Thanks be to Allah. So, whenever we come to Afala Yashkurun, right, we are supposed to say, Ashukr Allah. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ لا يستطيعون نصرهم وهم لهم جند محضرون. They have taken other than Allah gods so that they may help them. They cannot help them. فهم لهم جند محضرون, and they are ready soldiers, you know, ready at arms for these gods, so called gods. Here Aliha is not referring to only gods as in idols, no. Because nobody will say we are ready to be called, we are ready when called by idols. Because, idols don't call us. Here, Aliha is referring to even, people like Fir'aun and Namrud, tyrants. People who we think can help us. And we are ready to jump at their beck and say, oh, I'm ready for you. Right? I'm ready to help you. Because we think they can help us. Whereas in actual fact, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can help us. And this was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Holy Prophet, فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ. Don't be grieved by what they are saying. إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. I know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. We know what they are hiding and what they are manifesting. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Did the human being not see that we created him from a clot? فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Right? He is fighting us. خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ is a clear, right, opponent. خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ is somebody, the word خَصَمَ is very interesting. Because it does not mean a physical fight. It means an opponent. And why I say the word is interesting? Because I see the word repeated in a hadith. For example, Al-Kibriya'u Rida'ullah. That pride and haughtiness is Allah's. وَالْمُتَكَبِّرُ يَخْصَمُ رِدَاهُ. That means somebody who is proud is actually يَخْصِمُ, is fighting for that, is opposing Allah's pride. The word that is used is يَخْصِمُ. So it does not mean a physical fight, it means that you are contesting it.
Contenders,
isn't it? وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. He gave us an example and he forgot his own being, his own creation. And this is again, إنسان خلق الإنسان من نسيان. The إنسان is, this is not a verse of the Quran. الإنسان من نسيان, that means إنسان is a word derived from forgetfulness. We tend to forget. We tend to forget our origin. We look at our future and say, how can this happen? If we were only to reflect back for a little while on our origin, we would not ask the question. And this is what Allah is referring to. That they are giving us an example. What was the example? That somebody came to the Holy Prophet and picked up dust, you know, and says, these bones that are already dust, can you give life back to these bones? So what Allah says, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. He forgets his own creation. What was his own creation? أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. We created him from a cloth. That is what. Could he not ask that question, from a cloth you can create a whole human being? Now he is asking, dust, فَيَّا سَيْفَشِسُ. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Somebody who created it the first time is more likely to be able to create it again. The first time from nothing he created it. The second time at least there are dust. There is dust he can create from it. So if he can create from nothing, he can most likely, you know, most certainly create it from. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٌ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الشَّجَرِ الْأَخْضَرِ نَارًا فَإِذَا أَنْتُم مِّنْهُ تُوقِدُونَ. He who created fire from the green tree. Right? Oh yeah, green tree is here. In those days, you know, in the desert, whenever they wanted to light a fire, they used to have marks of two plants, Marh and Afar. Marh and Afar are names of you know, shoots. But they would use the green shoot, right? And as they struck one with the other, spark would, you know, it would be kindled and the fire would light. Now, the reason why Allah has mentioned this, I'll give you the explanation of Ayatollah Tabatabai first and then Ayatollah Nasr al-Makarim Shirazi. Ayatollah Tabatabai says that Allah is trying to mention a very important point here. He is saying a green shoot, right? Shajar al-Akhbar means a green shoot, meaning that shoot or tree is still alive. It is not a dark and dry tree, it is a wet tree. And something that has water, which opposes fire, can give fire. Right? So two things that supposedly contradict each other, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to create fire for something that has water. Right? This is the sign he is referring to. Ayatollah Tabatabai. Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi, who does convey or narrate this particular tafsir as well, but he goes on one further step, keeping up with the theme of the whole verse, of the whole surah, that it is giving life to something that is supposedly dust. Right? He says that the shoot of a plant, whilst it is alive, draws energy from sun. It takes heat and light from the sun and then uses that to give life to itself. There is energy stored in the plant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing here that that energy that was derived from the heat or light of the sun is now no longer visible. Is it? It's no longer visible. It's entered this plant and is now part of the plant. Yet Allah is able to bring back the same kind of fire that is in the sun. From the sun that is burning, sends out energy in the form of light. Light is consumed by the plant. So it is now latent. That same energy is converted back to fire, meaning that even after changing state and form, right, we can take it back to its original form. This is Ayatollah Nasir Makarim Shirazi explaining it in Tafsir al-Mumin. That it then gels with the theme that even after it becomes dust, we can give life back and form that human being again. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الشَّجَرِ الْأَخْضَرِ نَارًا فَإِذَا أَنْتُم مِّنْهُ تُوقِدُونَ أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ. is he who created this earth and the skies? And those are complicated creation. We are not talking of a human being. I know a human being is a complicated creature, but if you look at the intricacies of these skies and the earth and the planets and the system, galaxies and all that, if he can create all that, you think it defeats him to create an ordinary human being like me and you? أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ بَلَىٰ وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. It is he only who can create it. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. He is only to say be. Again, this be, kun fayakun, is used to explain to us how simple it is for him to create. How there is no time gap that he has to plan, wait, you know, not even a second. You see, iradatuhu fi'luhu wa fi'luhu khalquhu. That means his wish is his action and his action is his creation. Unlike us, where there are the three different stages, that where we think we want, then we do, and then it is done. Right? Whereas there are no transition stages in him. إِرَادَتُهُ فِعْلُهُ وَفِعْلُهُ خَلْقُهُ إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That is why in that verse it says, وَمَا أَمْرُهُ إِلَّا وَاحِدًا كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ. That his amr is only one, like that lamh al-basr, you know, twinkling of an eye. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. صلى على محمد وعلى محمد. I think we've run out of time. Namaz without thinking. Very briefly, we are taking a break in tafsir class, unless of us. Thank you.